Welcome to Just Being, the podcast on learning to just be your most authentic self while caring for these minds and bodies we call home.
Hello, beautiful beings, and thank you for joining us for our 9th episode of Just Being. I'm Kirsty.
And I'm Nikki. Today we're going to be discussing why protecting your energy and setting boundaries is so important. This is something I'm really focusing on being better at. Probably my main takeaway from 2021 was how important it really is and the impacts it can take on your mental and physical health if you don't. There are many ways to prioritise and protect your own energy, but we will share some examples that have worked for us and talk about why it's such a key skill to nurture.
Exactly that. It's so easy to give and give and give and burn ourselves out in the process. When actually, the kindest thing we can all do for each other is to work on setting boundaries, to help put ourselves first and all stay healthier mentally and physically. You can't pour from an empty cup.
Burnout is also a real issue this time of year. People often expect to start January feeling rested and reset. But actually, as amazing as Christmas is, it can sap a lot of our energy. Also, a lot of us have time off over December, which makes it much easier to have some boundaries for alone time and to prioritise that self-care. And it's such a shock to the system to suddenly find yourself back in the world of work, getting up earlier and being in more situations where it's harder to protect our energy. January should be a time for really prioritising self-care, for setting good boundaries to take with us over the year, and for protecting and prioritising our own energy levels first.
Know your own energy. Setting boundaries to avoid depleting your energy is important for everyone, but even more so if you're an empath. It is important to take time to get to know yourself and your own default vibe better, so that you can tell when you are under the influence of your own feelings and emotions, or if you've picked it up from someone else during the course of your day. This will then help you to recognise if and when you might need to start setting boundaries. Being an empath stems from learnt behaviour during childhood. Usually, as you were often in situations where you had to learn to read other people's moods and feelings, as you felt that you had to adapt to them to avoid confrontational or upsetting situations. For me, this behaviour most likely started in my family situation in early childhood and was exacerbated by the bullying I received during my secondary school years. This defence mechanism we learnt as children, to adapt or compromise our own energy in order to keep the peace, we then carry on into our adult lives, and this can lead to us feeling energetically and emotionally drained.
I think that's a really interesting way to kick off this episode, Kirsty, as so many people are empaths, and it can make it feel much more challenging to value setting boundaries and prioritising your own energy first. If you're not sure what being an empath means, there's a brilliant article by Health Online called 15 Signs You Might Be an Empath. In it, Dr. Judith Orloff describes empaths as those who absorb the world's joys and stresses like emotional sponges. Therapist Kim Eggle goes on to explain, empaths have a higher sensitivity to outside stimuli such as sounds, big personalities and hectic environments. They bring a lot of heart and care to the world, but can feel things very deeply. I'm also an empath, and that idea of being an emotional sponge really resonated with me. The problem is you spend so much of your energy unwillingly soaking up everyone else's stress and emotions. There's not much space left for your own or for separating and processing your thoughts and feelings, and you can end up feeling completely exhausted and weighed down from the weight of trying to carry it all, which is when we often start to feel those signs of burnout and the impacts on our mental and physical health.
But it's not all bad. Being an empath can be a positive trait. It can be helpful in relationships and certain jobs like counselling or psychotherapy or being a teacher. You just need to be aware of your tendency towards it so you can recognise what is your energy and what is someone else's. Everyone and everything we come into contact with during the course of the day has its own energetic frequency. That's why some people you vibe with as their energy is similar to yours and others not so much. Some people also might just take things out on you if they're having a rough day and it might not be anything to do with you directly and not your fault. And then you can end up unwittingly carrying that negative energy with you for the rest of the day.
I think that's so true, and it's something I used to really struggle with when we were working on the help desk centre, because so many people would be dealing with really stressful calls and getting very frustrated or upset off the back of it. And even if I myself had had a completely fine working day and very pleasant calls, I'd get back feeling so pent up and wound up and exhausted just from the weight of picking up on everyone else's emotions.
That's so true. And I think that's part of the reason that working from home has been so beneficial for a lot of people. Because even if you do get a bad call, you can kind of talk about it online or over Teams. But if you're having a really good day, then you can just stay in your own little happy bubble and you haven't got the atmosphere around you kind of influencing how you feel or bringing you down.
Exactly that. I've also found working from home very beneficial for my energy levels and mental health. And this was actually a big contributing factor to why my relationship with Chris didn't work previously. He was really struggling with depression at the time, and I found it so difficult to separate his feelings from my own, which left me feeling constantly exhausted and frustrated that I couldn't help him. Empaths are also more likely to be codependents, which makes sense, but is frustrating. And as we've discussed before, it adds a whole other layer of struggling to recognise and set boundaries. I find making time for some space helps. Time away from anyone to try and find a version of neutral, away from the impacts of other people's moods and priorities. Practicing your acts of self-care is also key to help reset and wring out that sponge, as it were. So whatever self-care looks like for you, but for me, that could be reading, walking, yoga, a bubble bath, doing a puzzle or a paint by numbers. Anything that's grounding, that gives you a chance to relax and be in your own thoughts. Journaling or meditation is also great to help separate out and focus on what's your own feelings and to work through and process them. Lastly, therapy is also invaluable from my experiences if you do struggle with any of this, as it can help you to discover the root cause and triggers. I've done a lot of work over the last year on separating my identity and value out from how much I feel I've gone above and beyond for family, friends, or work on a day-to-day basis. We all have a set amount of energy each day, and it is about learning to prioritise your own needs first before using what is left to then support others, without feeling like that makes you a bad person, partner, friend, or employee.
Yeah, they're all really good tips, and I think it can be hard sometimes to know if what you're feeling or your mood is yours or is someone else's. I think sometimes in the moment, if you're feeling overwhelmed or you're feeling angry or upset and you don't really know why, just taking a couple of minutes to breathe and just ask yourself, why am I feeling like this? Like, is this actually mine? Or is this someone else's? You know, where's this come from, this feeling? Is it coming from inside of me and my own heart and my own mind? Or is it an external influence that's making me feel this way? And I think the more you do that, the more you get used to recognising when it's something that's coming from your energy or if it's coming from elsewhere.
100%. And I love that. Is this actually mine? Is a brilliant self-mantra check-in for yourself when you're feeling overwhelmed or stressed or anxious, particularly if you're not aware of an obvious route to why.
Another thing I sometimes do, if I've had a particularly emotionally charged or draining day, or if I'm just feeling really off and I don't really know why, is at the end of the day, during my meditation or just before I go to sleep, I will rerun my day at work or wherever it was to try and work out where it was that I lost my energy or where it was that I started to feel negative or down. It could be from that really angry customer that I spoke to that wouldn't let me get a word in edgeways, or an upset friend or family member that's just going through a lot, or even that impatient driver whose road rage you witnessed while you were sitting in traffic. Once you've worked out what the situation was that caused your energy to shift, there's a visualization you can then do to retrieve your energy and give the other person back their energy that you unwillingly took on. So if you just close your eyes and imagine that you are back in that situation, standing opposite that person or sitting in your car at that moment of road rage, and you are both holding a big cup or vase. Your cup should be full of your energy, but at some point you took on some of their energy and it mixed in with yours. So imagine this energy as water or a stream of white light, and then picture yourself pouring any of their energy back into their cup, leaving you only with what is yours.
There's a number of meditations and visualizations out there aimed at targeting different causes of stress. So why not try searching on YouTube for practices to help with refilling or cleansing your energy? I'm currently working through the wonderful Yoga with Adrian's 30-day yoga journey, which is also a brilliant way of motivating yourself to carve out that time in the day for some grounding and calm, which you can also find on YouTube. Prioritise your joy.
In our latest episode, Go On Now Go, we talked about how to let go of relationships that no longer make you happy. The only thing constant in life is change. And although it can be hard, sometimes letting people and things go that are no longer serving you is the best thing to do. And this can allow for new energy and opportunities to come in that are a better fit for the person that you are today.
Although we focused on romantic relationships in that episode, this is just as applicable for other relationships like friendships or even family members. You have no obligation to keep someone in your life just because they've been there for a long time or because they're related to you. It can almost be harder to realise a friendship is no longer bringing you joy or has turned toxic than a romantic relationship, as usually they're less intense. So you likely won't be having those super dramatic fights and intense feelings you get when a relationship is on its way out. But there are still a lot of red flags to look out for. You can just be left feeling unfulfilled or permanently drained by your interactions with that person. Even if someone has been a friend for a long time, you can always reassess their role in your life and the value it brings. People change a lot over the years, and sometimes we sadly just grow in different ways. Or you might realise now you're older and wiser, you're done with the drama and gossip, but they're just not. Again, prioritising your own joy and well-being doesn't make you a bad person. We've said it before, but you cannot control the things that happen, you can control how you react to them. Similarly, you can to an extent control what influences or people you do or do not allow into your life, and what energy you allow them to take from you.
Exactly. It might be hard, but maybe you just need to be honest with yourself and with them. Don't just ghost someone without a reason, if it can be helped, because that's not kind on anyone. But the older I get, the more I realise that as you grow and change as a person, your interests and lifestyles might not align with some of your friends as closely as they did in the past. And that's okay. Your friendship might just be different to how it used to be. But you can still love and support each other. Sometimes it's just a case of realising, like with relationships, that it's unlikely that you'll find everything you need in one person or friendship, and just appreciate and enjoy what you do share together.
That's very true. I think sometimes just realising and accepting that childhood best friend that used to be your everything is still a good friend, but they're not that sole primary source of friendship and joy, and that's fine. And there's also family relationships. For a lot of people, the thought of stepping away from a relationship with a relative doesn't even feel like an option. But just because someone is family, it doesn't mean you're trapped into something that might be harming for you. For any kind of negative or stressful relationship, the chances are it's not doing them much good either. You don't even necessarily have to cut all ties, just setting some clear boundaries or stepping back from the relationship for a while if you feel the need for some time away or some space can also make the world of difference. As I said, the chances are if you're finding a relationship draining or difficult, the other person may be too, and you might actually be doing them a huge favour by being the one that's strong enough to bring it up and talk about the issue, work out some boundaries, or maybe even consider getting help from a friend or another family member, depending on the situation.
Energy, mindsets and moods are infectious, and the people you spend the most time with will have an influence on you, even if you're not aware of it. Friendships and relationships are about supporting each other through tough times as well as enjoying the good times. We're not suggesting you to be a fair weather friend, but there should be a balance of give and take over time. If you find that you're the only person out of the two of you that is offering support and checking in to see how the other person is, and you never receive that back, maybe it's time to reassess the relationship or friendship. Another red flag would be if you've set and communicated your boundaries, but the other person keeps overstepping or ignoring them.
But on the flip side, there are also times where we think it's worth fighting for a relationship. So one of my closest friends is terrible at replying to messages, and I mean terrible. For a huge chunk of our friendship, we'd only see each other maximum once a year, and that was because I would literally hound him until we got a date in the diary. But as frustrating as that could be, when we did meet up, it was always wonderful. I'd come away feeling energised, refreshed and happy, and actually more in tune with my authentic self. Some people do that for you, and I think it's very rare and something to be treasured. And I'm honestly so glad I did keep putting in the effort, when it would have been so easy and used a lot less energy to let it just fizzle out. I was one of the few people that he invited to his wedding, even if it did get postponed due to COVID, and was also one of the first people to find out the sex of his baby, and to then meet his beautiful baby son. Having him and his family in my life consistently brings me so much joy, and hopefully vice versa. And these days I can safely say he is much better at replying.
Setting boundaries. So as we mentioned earlier, setting boundaries is an important form of self-care. Not only can constant giving with disregard to your own needs tire you out emotionally and mentally, it can also contribute to physical illness. Dr. Gabor Mate, author of When the Body Says No, explains how the automatic and compulsive regard for the need of others without considering one's own can lead to physical and mental illness. In one of his workshops, he said that 80% of the people with autoimmune disease are women, and also that the ratio of multiple sclerosis, which is an autoimmune condition of the nervous system, in the 1940s in Canada was about 1-to-1. That ratio is now about 3 women to every man. He asked, what could be the cause of this? Well, we know it's not genetic, as genes don't change in a population over 70 years. And it can't be the climate or the diet, because that hasn't changed more for one gender than the other. So what has changed? The stress levels. Women have always had the role of being the stress absorbers of their families, including their spouses. Which is why married men live longer than unmarried men, but married women don't live longer than unmarried women. He goes on to say that the role for women has not changed, but on top of that, women now have taken on an economic role since the Second World War. And that would be okay if the other role was now more shared, but it isn't.
I think that's really interesting and so true, and something that we will actually come back to and touch on in more detail in further episodes in this season. In our previous episodes, I did touch on how ill I was towards the end of my last relationship, because I was using so much of my energy on trying to support and run the life of my partner at the time. The truth is, he would have been fine if I'd set boundaries and stepped back from getting involved in the decisions of his day-to-day life, like what he ate and if he chose to do exercise or not. But I knew he wouldn't have been living the life I felt he should want to, and that was a reflection on the relationship not being right for both of us, which can be really difficult to admit. As Kirsty said, this can be particularly challenging for women, who are often people pleasers and codependents and empaths. We are trained from such a young age that our job is to take care of others, while also feeling unable to express our own needs or emotions for fear of being thought overly emotional or high maintenance. But if you don't take care of yourself first, you will eventually run yourself into the ground, and that is when serious mental and physical health issues can start to occur. This doesn't mean that men don't also go through similar issues, but there is just a trend that the way we're brought up, women do seem to be more likely to fall into this trap.
Yes, and as we said earlier, you can't pour from an empty cup. If you keep giving to the point of burnout, you'll have nothing left to give yourself or to the other people that you care about. One way to help keep your energy filled is to set boundaries. Sometimes I will do this by communicating to my family or friends when I need quiet time alone to recharge, especially after a busy day or week at work, or if I've got a lot of things going on in my mind. It helps to communicate when I need space from people before I get to the point of feeling frustrated because my phone's going or my mum's asking me a question and I just need some headspace, and then I end up snapping at them. I've also got better at saying no more as I get older. I'm more precious with my time and energy these days. Whereas when I was younger, I might have had FOMO and said yes to things that maybe I didn't really want to do, or end up with a busy calendar and not take any me time to recharge.
Yeah, definitely. I think learning that you don't have to say yes for every invite or every time someone wants a phone call or a bit of your energy is such an important learning curve as you grow up. I'm reading a fantastic book on setting boundaries at the moment by Michelle Ellman called The Joy of Being Selfish, which in my opinion will convince you of the importance of taking care of yourself first. She also shares lots of tips on setting boundaries on her Instagram, Scarred Not Scared. There are a number of things you can try, and it does completely depend on the situation and what you want from the outcome. But what will always be more beneficial is when you are setting boundaries from a more grounded place, rather than in a reactive way, which might be fueled by anger or emotion. Time away from your phone is a good one if you tend to get a lot of stressed or emotional messages from a loved one. If it's someone you live with and you want to set boundaries, you could try talking to them about why you feel they're needed and what boundaries would be beneficial for you. There are also things to consider, like boundaries around work, not looking at your work phone or laptop every weekend or in the evenings, keeping yourself one evening or weekend day completely free, specifically to relax and prioritise our self-care. But I think above all, the main thing that's helped me is to realise that setting boundaries does not make you a bad person. Through therapy, I've realised that's the element of it that I was actually struggling with the most.
Yeah, I think that's so true. The times when I felt like a bad person in my friendships or family relationships has been when I haven't communicated my boundaries. And as I said before, it's when I've ended up snapping at them. It's like I expected them to read my mind and be aware of my boundaries, which is so daft and unfair. I think a lot of us can probably look back to times when someone has asked us if we were okay or if something was up, and our response was nothing or I'm fine, when really we weren't fine at all. And that moment when they ask us that question could have actually been a good opportunity for us to communicate our boundaries and how we were feeling. Sometimes we protect our energy subconsciously. Our solar plexus, which is the chakra that sits just above the belly button, is our self-esteem and confidence energy centre. Sometimes it can be felt in the form of what we call butterflies. Sometimes when you're in a situation where you're feeling slightly threatened or defensive, you might find yourself instinctively crossing or folding your arms over your stomach. This acts as a protective barrier against taking on the energy of the other person or losing any of your own energy.
That's really interesting, and I've not actually heard that before, but I've been called out in work meetings in the past for sitting back in my chair with my arms folded across my stomach, and it's usually when I'm feeling overwhelmed by the amount of work coming my way, or feeling uncomfortable with the team dynamics or tensions going on in the room, and that butterfly feeling is also something I know only too well.
If you are someone who finds yourself absorbing other people's energies during meetings or when you're out and about, there is another quick visualization that you can do before you go into a busy environment or situation, or before you pick that phone call up at work. Close your eyes and picture a protective bubble around your whole body. If you want to, you can fill it with a white or golden light, and know that any unwanted energy can't pass through this protective field that surrounds you. Alternatively, you could imagine that you are surrounded by a circle of mirrors that are facing away from you, and that any negative vibes that are projected your way will be deflected back to where they came from. Affirmations are also useful, either while doing the visualization or just on their own. If you take a deep breath and say to yourself, "My energy is safe and protected at all times." You can use this any time you're about to go into a situation or spend time with a person that sometimes leaves you feeling drained.
Oh, that's so many great tips, and I really love that affirmation of my energy is safe and protected at all times. I'll definitely take that with me into the workplace or stressful situations where I know that my valuable sense of grounding might be threatened. Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode and can take something away from it to help keep your cup full. We would love for you to come and say hey on our show Instagram, justbeing_podcast, or you can find us on Colour Me Happy with two E's and me, and Kirsty at Holistic Kirsty, one word with no C. Feel free to ask us any questions you have about what we've discussed today.
You could also share this episode with anyone you feel that may benefit from anything we've spoken about today or with setting boundaries. And if you have any questions or constructive feedback, we would love to hear it. Just drop us a DM or email us at justbeing_podcast@hotmail.com. Also, depending on where you are listening from, please do like, subscribe, or leave us a review.
Goodbye, lovely listeners, and until next time, remember to just value and protect your energy. Join us next week, where we'll be talking about the numerous pressures of today's society, which makes it so hard to protect ourselves from burnout.